Richard Wurmbrand was an evangelical pastor in Romania when communists in 1948 kidnapped him and imprisoned him for 14 years. You maybe have read his story, but for 3 years he was in solitary confinement 30 feet below ground. Just picture that. There are three things that I've read from his life that kept him sane. One, he prepared and preached a sermon every day to an imagined audience. Every day he forced himself the discipline of preparing a message and preaching it in his cell, solitary confinement. Secondly, he prayed for the salvation of the communists that he had come to love. And that statement always amazes me. And third, he dreamt and planned a ministry that would serve the persecuted Christians around the world. At his release, he came to the United States, and he wrote the book that maybe some of you have read, Tortured for Christ, and founded a mission that today is Voice of the Martyrs. As he preached to the United States, many found his message hard to believe. A lot of Christians at that time didn't think that the claim that there was persecution was overstated. And so when asked about his qualifications, he would simply take off his shirt, show his 18 torture scars, and say, "These marks are my credentials." He published a newsletter every year sharing the stories of courageous Christians being beaten, imprisoned, and killed. And some refused to read it, saying it was too depressing, too graphic. Wurmbrand's response was that he told the stories because, quote, "it will greatly enlarge your vision to share the joys and sorrows of your brothers and sisters in Christ." That's one of the reasons that we participate in the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. We need to see beyond ourselves, beyond the significant as well as the petty concerns of our lives. And it challenges us. It calls us to live a higher level, more focused, committed to God's calling on our lives. I believe LeBron James' intensity raised the level of play in the NBA. There's something about somebody else stepping up, truly living a courageous life, that causes all of us to want to live a higher level, a more focused life, more committed to God's calling on our lives, to use our resources for others. We want an enlarged vision. I was particularly challenged this month in reading of a Voice of the Martyr staff member, Peter Jasek, who went to the Sudan for 4 days of evaluating how Voice of the Martyrs could help the church there. At the airport, he was detained and then falsely charged with multiple crimes, including espionage. He was put in prison. This is an American citizen. He was put in prison, cell with 6 ISIS members who intimidated him, beat him, kicked him, and were making plans to torture him with waterboarding when a guard rescued him. For 14 months, he was in prison and was given a life sentence, and then suddenly released. Yes, in 2018, these things happen. When I read this story, I immediately thought of our trips to Mexico. I can't even imagine being detained by the drug cartel and held in one of their prison camps for 14 months. So we applaud these Christians. We admire them. We hold them in high regard. We see them as true heroes of the faith. We pray for them. We give support to help them with their families. We support Christian justice advocates around the world. But even more, we join them in living fully devoted lives, passionately serving Christ, turning from materialism and self-centered lifestyles of leisure. We seek to die to ourselves and live sacrificially. We want the persecuted church to inspire us, challenge us, and call us to a higher level of intentional living. And that's the thrust that I'd like you to look at this morning in Hebrews chapter 12. you want to turn in your Bibles or on your phone apps, Hebrews chapter 12. We'll also be presenting it on the screens. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," I want to speak this morning on a message entitled, "Our Cloud of Witnesses." The witnesses are the people in chapter 11. He's just gone through these great men and women of the faith throughout the history of the Bible, and he calls them our cloud of witnesses. There's Noah, there's Abraham, and each has a description of how they lived and walked their life by faith, and how their faith resulted in miracles and an empowered kind of living, and God showing himself strong and mighty. There was Gideon, who with 300 men destroyed the army of the Midianites by the hand of God. There was Samuel. There was David. We know many of their stories, David and Goliath, David and King Saul. And we know of how God used these people in great ways. We admire them. Hebrews 11, 32 through 34 says, "And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions," obviously Daniel, "quenched the fury of the flames," Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies." There is this group of people. We study their lives. We admire their courage. We seek to emulate their character or learn from their mistakes. In a sense, this cloud of witnesses, they wow us. We read those Old Testament stories and we go, wow, amazing. But then in this next verse, there are the others. He says, 35 through 38, "Women received back their dead, raised to life again," completing the list of all those who things went so well. "But others were tortured." Now, this is still the chapter of faith. "They refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground." There's another group who God seemed to be silent and quiet in their life. They were still people of faith, but they didn't get to receive the reward for their faith. We applaud them in their suffering. We're amazed at their perseverance. Hebrews 11, 39 and 40 says, "They didn't receive their reward. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promises." We talk about the promises of God. There's this whole group of people in the chapter of faith who didn't receive what they had been promised. It's still ahead of them. God will give them what he promised, but God had planned something better so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And since we have this great cloud of witnesses, we're to run our race. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We're to do more than just applaud and admire. Today when we listen to these stories, we're to do more than admire them and even applaud their courage. These witnesses are to inspire and challenge us to run our race, or as it's described, the race marked out for us. There's a particular emphasis in this pass on our race. The reality today is that we aren't called to run anybody else's race. We're not called to run the race the Christians in Pakistan are called to run. There are places in our world today that the landscape dictates how they will publicly live out their faith. Our landscape is much different. But there is a race that God has marked out for us, and we're to run it well. We're to run our race. And somehow we're to do it with the intensity and intentionality that they run their race. We live in a country that's greatly blessed with religious freedom. It's founded upon Christian principles. The world cannot rewrite history. It was Christian and Christian values that shaped our nation. But we haven't been called to suffer like many of our brothers and sisters, but they inspire us to run our race. As I was reading in preparation, I kept thinking, I could do more. I can do better. I always have that feeling when I go to Mexico and I watch the pastors there who serve so much on so little. I watch them in their lives and I say, I can do more. I can do better. I start thinking about my income. I start matching their income and my. Their 300 and my whatever it is. And I start to think, well, could I give 2% of my income to them? That wouldn't even remotely bridge the gap. Could I give 5%? Could I challenge other pastors to give a percentage of their income to the pastors in Mexico? I just keep thinking that I could do better when I watch their sacrifice. It inspires me. It brings a focus and an intensity and an intentionality. And that's what I want to do today in our message. The higher. What did he call it? What did Wormbrand say? We want to enlarge our vision. I hope to enlarge your vision today of what you can do in behalf. In this passage, there are three specifics given about how to improve our run. I hope you'll take them to heart. First of all, he says to throw off every hindrance and the sin that so easily entangles. It can be sin, it can be good things, but there are things that hinder our run. They entangle us. And one of the effects of thinking about the persecuted church today is that we could look at our lives and say, what waste could I eliminate from my life? What is there in my life that doesn't need to be there, and if I were to eliminate it, I could be more proactive and more engaged, and I could be helping more people. Now, only you would know what those things are. It would be silly for me to stand up here and give you a list. That's something that you would have to search in your own heart in relationship to the Lord. But I watch in the world of athletics. The athlete today wants the lightest gear. It's to be aerodynamic. The latest, best technology is used. The discourse right now on NFL helmets is an example. Diet and nutrition, exercise and exercise machines, science, all that is being brought in because why? They want the highest performance possible. Christian, we ought to examine our lives. We ought to take time occasionally and look, take a good look at our lives and say, where's the waste? Where's the stuff that's useless? What could I give up that could allow me to be more centered and focused and given to the work of God? I read this week about the Washington running back, Peterson, an old Viking, in case you didn't know that. He injured his shoulder. His regimen included getting up at 3 a.m. and stretching and working out so it wouldn't get stiff and require a longer surgery. He had a game he wanted to play this week, and he was going to do anything possible to make sure he was in the game. They do it for sports. We have such a higher calling. What if we were to adopt that attitude and say, we will do anything and whatever it takes so that we can be in the game, fully engaged? Is there dead space, wasted living, useless activities? When was the last time you and I examined our lives and made some changes and became more intentional because the thought came to you, I could do more. I could do better. Secondly, he says we're to run with patience and perseverance. Success and achievement comes from the right plan of training over many months, many years, many decades. It's not won or lost in a day or a week or even a season. It's not measured by how great you were one day. It's not lost in how poor you were another day. The Christian life is a marathon of consistency, constancy, persevering through the good and bad. My son has taken up marathon running, and I asked him once about running a marathon. How do you do it? And his answer was something like this: you don't run a marathon. You just run the mile you're on. And when you're done with that mile, you focus on the next mile. That's running with perseverance. And we're to do that as well. The third one is fixing our eyes on Jesus. Of course, Jesus is the ultimate example of running the race. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the ultimate inspiration. We watch his passion, his dependence upon the Father, his obedience, his wisdom, his willingness to suffer and lay down his life, his love for others, his daily dying to himself, the lack of self-preservation, self-promotion, self-indulgence, self-importance, and we say, that's how I want to live. I could do it better. I could do more. Today, more than any time in history, Christians around the world are being persecuted for their faith in larger numbers ever before. We admire them. We applaud them. We pray and support them. But friends, even more than that, we're inspired by them. Inspired to do more, to do better, to live intentionally and intently for Christ as we run our race, the race that God laid out for us. Bow with me in prayer. Worship team, step forward. Sometimes, Lord, I wonder how I would do if I were called upon to be in prison for 14 months and suffered persecution, and I can't even go there. I just have one thought that says, Lord, you would have to give me the grace. It would have to be the presence of God in my life that enabled me. But in some ways, that thought is not even necessary because that's not my race. But what is important is, am I running the race that you've laid out for me, the best and the most focused and the most intentional and intensely that I can? Am I passionately doing, Jesus, what you want me to do here in Helena 2018 with these people in this city? And I pray that we won't just applaud our brothers and sisters who are living with intensity and intentionality, but that we will join them. They will inspire us today to step up and to find those places where we say, we could do more, we could do better, and then trusting in the Holy Spirit and having Christ alive in us, we will carry those desires out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.